Today on Real Radio.
Trust in the Lord, says the Bible, with all your heart. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says all your heart, opposed to some of your heart. Listen, everybody, some of your heart would answer to emotionalism, emotional decisions.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series on the parables of Jesus. We're looking at a parable that's found only in Luke's Gospel. It's the parable of the rich fool. It was told by Jesus when he was asked to step in and help settle a financial dispute. Now, this parable is chock full of wisdom, addressing how we are to have a more eternal perspective when handling what God has given to us. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, with more in a mini-series called The Parable of the Rich Fool.
Everything, what does the Bible tell us? Everything about what you and I have is His stuff. Does that kind of bump some of you? What? I thought it was mine. No, it's not. Young people have a hard time with this, especially, and the fact the younger you are, the harder you have a time with this, because when you're really young, everything is mine. Don't you have to teach your kid to share? Do you? Share. No, it's mine. And the kids, if you haven't watched a little playground dynamic. You ought to go watch it someday. It's refreshing to see how much you've grown in Christ. Because in the sandbox are all these little pagans, idol worshipers, cute as a button, but they're little pagan idol worshipers. And what they do is you watch almost every one of them exclusively will try to get stuff to their thing. And if someone's playing with something, they got all this stuff. But they're not happy. And they're looking at the kid playing with the stuff. The one, and he looks. He doesn't have the blue car. He's got every rainbow color car, but he doesn't have the blue one. And he's not happy. Have you seen this happen? So then he goes like this. You could see him. It's like, how do I guard my stuff? But I got to get that. And he's working out how to do that. And then, boom, boom. And then this kid's crying. He's happy for a moment, and then somebody reaches over, whap, and it's gone. And listen, you know what? Without Jesus, you never grow out of that. And Jesus says, that's foolish. Because what you acquire can never finish the meaning and purpose of your life. It doesn't complete God's plan for your life. It doesn't do it. And somebody might say, well, you know what? It's like Tevye in Fiddler of the Ark. I was going to say Fiddler. What is the movie? Fiddler on the Roof. Remember he says, God, if riches are a curse, I wish you'd smite me with it. Well, we laugh, but it's actually a request of condemnation. You say, well, that's a hard thing to say. Well, okay, look, go do this study later on your own. Over 75% of lotto winners within 5 years are divorced or unhooked on drugs, alcoholics, or dead. Did you know that? They can't handle it. But you begin to think, well, if I do this and I do the other thing, and if I build bigger barns, and if I just work 23 hours a day, and if I acquire these things, and if I reach it by the age of 40, I'm going to be fine. Wow. Now, I want to ask you these questions. I wrote these down for me. I think I know the answer, but do you think, listen, church, answer, do you think that this man's plan of consulting himself, do you think it made sense to him? Yeah, it made perfect sense to him. Listen, I'm going to set you up. It made perfect sense to him. Why? Because it was his plan. Why would you go with a plan if you didn't like it when you're the one who made it? If you have a problem with that, you need a doctor quick. Okay, so The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 25, that there is a way that seems right, correct, well advised to a man, but its end is the way of death. Think of it for a moment. I have thought about this. It's what I'm going to do. Maybe people have even told you, don't do it. No, I'm going to do it. You have no Bible verses. You have no waiting upon God to say, the Lord showed me. For whatever reasons, maybe they're not even clearly known to you, you are just committed to this path. That's the way it's going to be. I'm going to do this. And everyone's told you no. Not that everybody's right, but you didn't consult God. And you're a Christian, but somebody would ask you, on what basis has God given you to do this decision? If you have no biblical chapter verses answers, you're in trouble. You're on shaky ground. This is serious stuff. How does a Christian know what to do? Oh, there go you Christians, pointing to that book again. Hey, this book is all we have. Oh, he admitted it. I'll say it again. This book is all I have. Don't think it's a book. Look, if this book got burned, it doesn't change its truth. If every Bible in the world got burned, God's word's eternal. It doesn't change anything. This abides forever. And so, your decision-making process has got to be here. So, when your counsel is, I'm going to do this. Listen, Christian, listen. You and I saying, well, I feel like it's the right thing to do. That is absolute. Do you think it felt right to this man in the parable? A lot of people make their decisions based on what they feel. That is one of the most dangerous. In fact, I think many Christians today are in perilous situations because they make their theology, emotionally based theology. I feel like this would be good. And some people have gone so far, hey, for that matter, there's churches that have gone so far off base because they've taken what they feel over the revealed word of God. It seems right. And herein's the danger. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way, listen, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Here's the danger. The way, you ought to mark that in Proverbs 12:15. The way is his pattern of thinking and living. Listen, everybody. The way of the fool, his pattern of thinking, watch. Because some of you, if you've known people like this, or maybe it's you, the decision-making over your lifetime, you've gone from one disaster to the next in your life. Just one disaster, one bad decision to the next. And it's your pattern of decision-making. It's your pattern of living. God's not in that, says the Bible. Well, what is he into? Okay, here we go. Write this down. How do you not be a fool regarding your own opinion? Because we all have opinions. You guys, don't be so quiet. We all have them. Our opinions are important to us, are they not? It's part of our right as a human. You know, we've got that in us. We don't like to talk about rights as a Christian, but let's be honest. We have them. And how do we know? Well, because you'll share your opinion. Why? What are you doing? Because I'm a human, and I have this right to tell you, or I'm gonna jump in with my two bits into the class, and I'm gonna let my opinion be known, and that's fine. That's fine. But the Bible says, just make sure it's wise, not foolish. Usually, listen, when it's foolish, this is going to sting. Usually when it's foolish, the class, the bulk of the class will agree with it. Because it helps them soothe their conscience about their silly decisions. And then somebody speaks wise. Listen, when someone speaks wise, when someone's wise, it changes the course of history. You don't need too many wise people around because the wisdom that comes out of them changes so much. It can even make the foolish wise when they hear it, if they'll listen to it. But here is the thing God would have us do. You guys all ready? I want you to write this down. You're going to laugh because you know it so well. Proverbs 3. Oh man, I have that tattooed right here in my arm. I mean, I don't. I'm making that up right now. Someone's going to email me. I can't believe my pastor has a tattoo. I do not have a tattoo. I'm saying some people I've seen have this verse, and here it is. Proverbs 3, beginning at verse 5. And by the way, it's a command. Number one command in Proverbs 3, 5 is trust. Trust. Who? In who?
In the Lord.
Let me hear it again.
Lord.
In the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Ooh, that immediately deals with our own self. Prescribed opinion. I'm going to trust in one or the other. Well, trust in the Lord, says the Bible, with all your heart. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says all your heart opposed to some of your heart. Listen, everybody, some of your heart would answer to emotionalism, emotional decisions. If some of my heart is in something, then I'm not all in, right? If I'm not committed, then I have, listen, self-prescribed or self-wisdom that gives me options. Listen, don't raise your hand, but are you engaged? Would you want that other person to be all in? Are you going to get married this weekend? I don't know if you are or not. I don't know. I'm not saying. God didn't say this. I'm just saying. Are you going to get married this coming weekend? You're going to walk the aisle and you're going to stand before God's representative and you're going to recite vows and you're not in it all the way? If you're not wholehearted, then you have self-wise options. Do you hear me? Oh, you're quiet. Listen, when you walk down that aisle as a Christian, I'm talking Christian, our God invented marriage, so that's the context of my talk. Christian comes down the aisle, they're going to get married, stand before God, make promises to one another, then God hears it. He expects you, and each of you expect one another to be all in. If someone goes down the aisle with options, listen to this. I'd stop it right now. But the flowers cost so much. I would not make the walk down that plank. Because that's what the aisle becomes, a plank. If they're not all in, someone's walking to the end. And if they're not all in, then you're walking that plank alone. Because they're thinking, well, if it doesn't work out. Personally, listen, let me tell you something. If I knew that about a couple, I wouldn't marry them. I'd say, you guys come back later. Work it out. Think of it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means I have surrendered my self-determined, self-willed, self-wisdom options to God. I quit. Listen to the second command. Lean not on your own understanding. Wow. It's great. Have you ever seen, I'm sorry, I see a cartoon in my head instantly, boom. Have you ever seen somebody that come, watch, they're walking down, they're so cool, calm, and collected, and they got their stuff together, and everybody's looking at them, man, look at that. That guy, he's got it together. Look at that guy. And the guy just goes, And down he goes. It was his understanding that what he was going to lean on was Abel or even there. He thought it was there because he was trusting in himself. I got it all planned out. I'll walk down over here. I'll look really cool wearing this outfit, and here I am, and boom. Something that he thought that he understood to be his support completely failed. Think of it. This is so real. I do not believe in God. I'm a man of reason, people say. Think of it. And now today the new atheists are saying, science explains everything. So think about that for a moment. It explains a lot, but we're still learning stuff all the time. They'll admit to that. Have we learned all that there is to learn? No, isn't it funny? They know everything. But then you ask them, have we learned all that there is to know? No, there's still more discoveries to be made. So there is the possibility of you coming to the end of your tremendous acquisition of knowledge to bump into the God who made it all. That's impossible. That cannot be. So you're done thinking. You've just declared that it cannot be. So you have finished your journey of education because there cannot be a God at the end of your equation. Well, it's because science explains it. Listen, science does not tell us why. Science tells us how something works. Science explains how something works. Science never tells us why. It cannot do that. And people are staking their entire eternity on their own self-opinion, trusting in themselves, leaning on their own understanding. And from the start, it was flawed because God was not in his thoughts. And so is this foolish man. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, we'll get to it maybe. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible says, professing themselves to be wise. I think it's 1:22. Is it not something like that? Chapter 1, verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise. Have you ever heard somebody do that? My pastor, who is now in heaven, and he often would say, or he said it enough, it felt like it was often enough. What are those things? I don't have to be Dr. Charles Smith. God knows who I am. And you think about that for a moment. I'm not knocking education. God wants you to be educated. I believe the Christian should be the most educated person on the planet because God made your brain and God made everything that there is to learn. And but you trust them. You start leaning on those things. It's a dangerous thing. How many people do you know that they were really good people until they got money or until they got smart? when they got really smart, they got smart. It's fine to have enough money to help other people. That's fantastic. But it's not fine when you have so much money, you don't help anyone, and you just wind up building, like this guy did, the fool, a world around himself. And then the same thing about knowledge. You acquire knowledge for what? Well, I want all these letters behind my name. Well, wait, God gave you knowledge. Go use it. We're back to Proverbs still. Lean not on your own understanding, verse 6, in all, how many ways? In all your ways, acknowledge, consult him first. You guys, Proverbs 3, verses 5, technically verses 5 through 8, is the key to success. I mean, if I was to ever have a 12-step program for you, I'd just shave it down to 6. Because there's in verses 5 to 8, there's 6 steps. What I believe is to success. What kind of success? Any kind of success God has planned for you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Rich Fool. It's a very close look at this section of Scripture known as Luke chapter 12, The Parable of the Rich Fool, part of Pastor Jack's series of lessons called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we want to let you know about an event coming up here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, and who better to tell us about it than Pastor Jack himself. Now, Pastor Jack, you and I have a lot of fun here on the radio chit-chatting back and forth, but when it comes to worldview, we get serious. This is a serious topic for you.
Worldview is my thing. And believe it or not, my friend, it's your thing. Every bit of your thinking is based upon the worldview that you have formed.
Yeah.
It could have been a worldview that knowingly or unknowingly you formed because you grew up in a home of atheism,
yeah,
or religion or Christianity or nothingness. But you have a worldview. And listen, today more than ever, I believe that we're mandated from the Bible, and I can prove that, where not only should the Christian and the church have a biblical worldview and really be public about it,
yeah,
but sad today, one of the great things that's killing the church today is many of you may attend a church where the ministry that you're involved in, the church that you go to, they don't even address worldview issues.
Yeah.
Worldview is issues like racism in light of the Bible, homosexuality. What does the Bible say about such things? And what about social justice or some of these things that are really reshaping,
right,
the way some Christians are thinking? We need to get back to the Bible, and that's why we're having this conference called Engage. Listen, it's gloves off, no goofing around, taking the Bible and infusing it into your life so that you would leave this conference being able to answer honestly, lovingly, with a biblical worldview, the challenges that you deal with every day.
So many times I get into a conversation, I go, where do I go from here? So Let's get people out to this Engage conference,
yeah,
so you can learn how to talk to people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every single day on a normal level. It's Friday, July 17th, 6:30 to 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Saturday the 18th from 9 in the morning till 5:30 in the afternoon. Who's going to be with us?
Well, some really good speakers. One of them is a guy that just, every time he opens his mouth, I just, I'm impressed. And that's Frank Turek.
Okay.
Many of you may have already heard or seen Frank Turek do his thing. And when I say do his thing, Frank is such a gifted speaker and defender of the faith. His logic, his reason, again, his biblical worldview,
yeah,
is so powerful. And I want everybody to really hear him argue the biblical truth. You know, we've got Jeff Myers with us, who is the founder and president of Summit Ministries, a life-changing work that he's doing. Just a great word is going to be coming from Jeff. And listen, some of you have heard of a gentleman who's running for president.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Ted Cruz.
Right.
I've had the wonderful opportunity to meet Ted Cruz on numerous occasions back in Washington, D.C. I've heard him give some amazing Bible devotions. Ted Cruz, mind you.
Yeah.
Well, he's not speaking.
All right. His dad, though.
His dad is.
Yeah, I love this
guy. Let me tell you something. Rafael Cruz will blow your mind.
Yeah.
You will see why Ted Cruz is such a good man of integrity when you meet his dad.
Yeah.
Come on out and hear Rafael Cruz. And then we have with us Alan Schlaman, who's from Stand to Reason, a great ministry able to argue the defense of the faith, the accuracy and reasonableness of God's word in our culture today. Davey, personally, I tell you what, I mean, this is such a great event. There's no fee. We've got some generous people who've made it possible,
yeah,
for this thing to be free. Okay?
Can I throw in here real quick? Admission is free,
yeah,
but you got to register.
You got to register,
we
everybody.
We want to make sure you have a seat. So just call us and get a hold of us. Tell us you want to be here. If you need more info, you want to register, go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then click on the Engage conference link.
Yeah.
It's real simple. We'd love you to be here, and we need to know that you're coming.
And bring someone with you. Space is limited. We have 3,000 seats, so come on out.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.